don't say it nearly often enough, but I am grateful and appreciate that I get to do a show every morning with you two ridiculous fools.
I agree.
Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew, along with Sam.
Use the hashtag TCNT to tell us what you do with cottage cheese.
So hold on. Here's what happened.
You don't have to explain.
So no, I do, because this is a fun story, and you know we've got audio to get to, but
please,
this
no.
is
no.
So we can deviate for a moment. Jesse Kelly comes up later on this hour.
No.
So we go to break, and I hop onto the Twitters, and I see that my favorite band in the world, Depeche Mode, has been inducted for the 2020 class into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for what it's worth, right? And it's funny because Depeche Mode is a lot like Star Wars to me. Like, I was a fan of Star Wars before I was a fan of anything. Depeche Mode was the first band that I was ever a fan of, and they're my favorite band now. So first off, Drew's walking out to get coffee. I make this comment to him, and he goes, "Oh, that's cool, especially because they don't play rock music." And then he runs away.
I bolted because I thought John was going to stab me right there on the spot.
I'm like, ah!
Run!
Earlier, and Drew, you missed this. I looked over at Sam, and for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but like I look over, and Sam, your face, unless you're like right between your monitors, I can't see you. But I can see what your hands are doing. And so oftentimes I'll look over and you're eating something and I can't tell what it is. And I'm a curious person. So I thought you were eating cottage cheese this morning.
It was actually plain Greek yogurt.
So I asked her, I said, "You eating cottage cheese? You know, because I love me some cottage cheese." And she was very just like, "No."
Instantly I was like, "No.
No, I've never had cottage cheese.
She was repulsed at even the idea that you would suggest.
Exactly.
Because I was.
So I had to defriend both of you this morning.
Well, I will proudly say, confidently, I do not eat cottage cheese. I never have. I don't plan on trying it.
It's so good, though.
I don't know why. It doesn't look appetizing
to
me.
Yeah, I mean, big curd, small curd, no fat, full fat, don't matter. I love me some cottage cheese.
So then John was going on about he's like, "You don't even want to know what I would do with some cottage cheese."
I do all kinds of things with cottage cheese.
I don't want to know what you
and
do with
that's when the
cheese.
Conversation got a little weird.
It got very weird.
It's all food related.
We were having like a nice, pleasant, like, you know, conversation about cottage cheese. Drew was sharing with me some of the ways that he eats cottage cheese, and then John's over there getting weird with it.
So
talking about using it in his skincare routine.
That was not, no, it's nothing. It was
nothing. Cottage cheese baths.
Nothing like that. It's all revolves around eating it. Nothing non-eating.
Right.
No. So I'll dust my cottage cheese with ranch. With the stuff though, like the ranch powder you put on popcorn. Put a little ranch powder on cottage. It's fantastic.
You're the only person that does that.
You can get these small bite-size sausage beef bites from Cub. I will sprinkle those into a bowl of cottage cheese and enjoy that together. Doritos and cottage cheese is heavenly.
Okay.
It is amazing. You use your Dorito, you dip the Dorito in the cottage, so good. And cottage cheese on pizza, cold and hot, is amazing.
That is something I've never tried.
So there you go. So that's what I was talking about, you weirdos.
Right. I got you.
So that's all it was.
Sure.
And what, you think that my growing out my hair, you think it stays back this way naturally? No, that's all cottage
that's
cheese.
That's all cottage cheese, baby.
Hair product of choice.
rubbing cottage cheese into my head.
You just comb the curds out afterwards.
You're absolutely right. And then you got a little bonus on your comb. I'm pulling a whole Amy Klobuchar.
Now we know where it came from.
Full circle.
651-989-5855. This is the final hour of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew, and let's get to the phones. Matt in Minneapolis. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I didn't catch that the debate, but those audio bits are just they're so cringe. I mean,
man.
She doesn't, like that one lady is saying, she doesn't hold a can of the Trump, and she is the embodiment of the 80s. I mean, she's got the jumpsuit. She's missing the little the shoulder pads. Yeah, and that's it. She teleported from the 80s. And also, I want to bring up to you guys, can you imagine her negotiating with North Korea? Because I should be walked all over. It would be the end of the world. So
yeah.
I wanted to bring that up.
I would actually... Matt, thanks for the phone call. I know we have some other audio to play, but I would actually take that... The analogy of her in the 80s, I kind of like to take that and point that to her politics. To be honest with you, I think this is a repeated comment, but it's true. You know, our political landscape right now and our elections are changing right before our eyes, and we haven't caught up to these changes yet. And it's very interesting to see the combining of the old and new in terms of campaign styles. And that's one thing that I do find really interesting about the slate of Democratic candidates, is that you do have sort of this old and new style of individuals with your Pete Buttigieg's. And I'm not talking about diversity. I'm just talking about the individuals who have been in politics longer and how they handle the campaign trail versus individuals who haven't been in it nearly as long. And to me, Amy Klobuchar represents that old school type of mentality where touting, I've won all these elections so I can beat Trump, used to be a tactic that may have worked for her.
On the national stage, you know, and every state's going to be different, every locality is going to be different. So I'm just referring to on the national stage, yeah, that type of resume doesn't really excite people the way that it might have even 4 years ago, but, you know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. The fact that you've been in politics and been successful in politics for a long time, for me and for a lot of people, that's a negative.
Yeah.
That's not what I want.
Right.
Well, I'm sick of people that have been in politics for a long time. Y'all have done nothing but break things.
Yeah.
You've done nothing but break things, and then you run for re-election promising that you're going to fix the thing you broke.
Drain the swamp.
And then you'd break it some more. You've done, I mean, of all the things where government has crept further and further and further into our lives, and specifically the federal government, specifically on a national level, can you point to one area where they've actually made things better? Where the more the government has intruded and impeded right. and crept and crept and crept, where is an area where the federal government has actually made things better? Education? No. You can't look at education on any sort of national level and say that, you know, anything since the creation of the federal Department of Education, where it's actually gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
It costs more. We spend more on it. And the results have lagged. The results have declined the more that we've spent.
Extend that to individuals and how many individuals who have been in office for a tremendously long period of time can you actually point to that are still incredibly popular, haven't gone down the road of, you know, being called a rhino or establishment. And then you juxtapose that, not that we want to deviate too far, but juxtapose that against the private sector. You're right.
Yeah,
what government institution that's been there forever can you look at and go, that's thriving?
Well, Social they do Security? Such a good job. Man, look at what they've done with healthcare.
There's a story today that in the Pioneer Press is a short one. This is a perfect example. Minnesota legislative watchdog says State Department of Health is not doing enough to oversee the medical cannabis program.
Of course they're not.
You can't even get that right, for crying out loud. Simply just giving people who need, you know, medical marijuana the ability to get it and to use it. You can't even do that right? Come on.
I know. No, you're there. There's so, yeah, Amy Klobuchar, you've won in a lot of elections. Good for you. What have you done with those wins? What have you actually done to make my life better? What have you done to make the economy better? What have you done to make the education system or the healthcare system or anything? What have you done with those wins? I don't care that you won. That means nothing to me. What have you actually done?
Well, and I think, and I was going to mention this, and we ran out of time, but we were playing the clip from, actually, can you play the clip of her stumbling again from Amy Klobuchar before we go to the phones?
I would gladly play this clip every single break.
Kansas has a woman governor right now, and she beat Kris Kobach. And her name is, I'm very proud to know her, and her name is Governor Kelly. Thank you.
So
that's not her name.
If she was a genuine person, you know, and just owned it, she would have been, I'm sorry, her name escapes me right now. Or she wouldn't have even gone down the avenue of trying to say the name because she remembered the fact, which is all that mattered. She didn't have to like prove that she knows this person.
No, but
name.
She's very proud to know her, Sam. Yes. She's very, very proud to know this woman whose name is escaping her at the moment. So I'm just going
to
run with Governor Karen.
Thank you.
So the so arguably the biggest moment out of the night was the exchange between the moderator, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren over this claim that Elizabeth Warren has that Bernie Sanders said that a woman couldn't win the presidency, right? Then you have this moment with Amy Klobuchar talking about all these women that can win. We know that you're women. But to your point, we know that you're... Look, just you may think that just being a woman is enough to propel you to win an election, but it's not. We know that you are women already. Tell us what it is that you're going to do as a person, as an individual, as an elected official. Tell us what it is that you can accomplish just as a person and not just and get off. And I know it's not going to happen. And I'm just screaming into a forest, but get off the identity politics already because it's not working for the majority of individuals. And I don't think even on the left, all these arguments over can a woman win? Can a woman not win? Look at all these women that won. I think it falls flat in the absence of actual policy.
And I don't know anybody in real life that's actually having that argument. And maybe it's because I don't roll with enough Democrats. Maybe this is a hot topic amongst Democrats. Perhaps sexism is rampant in the Democrat Party. I don't know. Because I don't know anybody that's legitimately having the conversation of, gosh, I just don't know if a woman can win the presidency. It's certainly not happening in Republican circles, you know, and granted, maybe this isn't the best year because we don't have a contested primary or anything like that. But I can tell you, I know plenty of Republicans that would crawl across broken glass to vote for Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have any problem with voting for a woman. They're voting. They want to vote for people who match their ideals. They want to vote for people who share their principles. And they don't really particularly care if it's a man or a woman. The people that I know and the people that I talk to. If this conversation is really happening with some gusto within Democratic circles, I would love to hear from you and talk about it. 651-989-5855.
The first woman president, and I'll stand by this, the first woman president is going to be a Republican.
I tend to agree. I tend to agree.
I think Trump gets reelected this year, and then I think the president after him will be a woman Republican.
And it won't count.
No, of course not. Of course not.
She'll probably
gender doesn't matter.
She'll be a gender traitor.
Yeah. She'll be ripped to shreds just like Trump is.
Yes, she will.
Who knew women would make such good Nazis?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Who knew?
She'll be just like...
I thought Nazis were more of a male thing, but apparently not.
She's a sexist.
Yeah.
She will, but she'll be a gender traitor. She'll be just like Jake Sully in Avatar.
I don't get that reference.
Because he claimed that he betrayed his species because he wanted to become a big 10-foot-tall blue cat person. Yeah, spoiler alert at the end. He changed the species at the end of them. Okay, maybe it didn't work, but I went with it.
I understand what you're doing and where you're going.
Hot take, the first woman president will be a Republican.
Let's go back to that.
Let's go back to that.
Reset. I'm sorry, I just got stuck on the
gender. Are we too far along the road to hit the dumb button to back it up?
Yes.
We do.
Edit that part out of the podcast.
Yeah, get that out of the podcast. No, I stand by that.
It's just so funny to me that this party of that's supposed to be so woke, that's supposed to be so progressive, that's supposed to be so much better than your average knuckle dragging Republican, right? They're so socially evolved, and they spent like half an hour last night on this ridiculous question of whether or not a woman can be president.
Yeah, nobody's having that argument.
It's beyond parody at this point.
Well, look, and look, the one of the biggest reasons why this is all happening and why this is all the talking points is that they don't have any place else to go. The Democrats are in a tough spot, thankfully, because the economy is humming right now. Trump has not got us into another war. He did handle the Iran situation appropriately and kept that from getting any worse right now. So there's very little the Democrats can sit up there and push back against the Trump apart from identity politics, personality issues, and then even when it comes to the impeachment part of it, I mean, they're not even really grabbing on to that either. And they certainly didn't during last night's debate. I know there was some talk about Trump, but that was not the focus yet again last night. They were just eating each other over incredibly frivolous, non-important issues.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Got some time to take some phone calls. Your reaction thoughts on last night's debate. A few more audio clips that we can play as well before we're joined by Jesse Kelly in the final segment. We'll be right back after this. News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. Got a few people online want to talk about last night's Democratic debate. We will take a few phone calls, play some audio clips in this segment before being joined by Jesse Kelly coming up.
Also, on time permitting, we'll talk just briefly about this. We'll step aside for a moment. We mentioned yesterday that wine consumption has fallen for the first time in 25 years.
We've been doing our part.
No, I haven't. I actually think it's all me because I stopped drinking wine. I put it up on Facebook. Some people had some interesting theories as to why it was taking place that I actually kind of agreed with. Well, I actually have the reason, and we'll share that with you coming up in just a few minutes.
Steve calling from Houston. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, morning, guys. Just want to say I love the show.
Thank you.
Even though I'm away from the Twin Cities, I still get on iHeartRadio anytime I'm up this early to
thanks, man,
to listen in. I wanted to say I can't even tune into those debates anymore. It just you kind of hear one, you hear them all. It's such a low level of intellect for them to have a conversation about which gender is going to be the best to lead the country, or
right,
which person with this amount of money is going to lead the country the best. I mean, it's like Barack Obama was supposed to be this person of the people, started out as a community organizer and everything, and he didn't do anything. And within the first few years of Trump's administration with his tax cuts, the company I worked for gave out $1,000 bonuses. You know, didn't come from government, came mm-hmm. from the company. And you can look at the same thing with African American rights. You know, Trump's doing more for them than Barack Obama ever did. And it's just silly to think that you have to be this gender or this level of wealth to be able to understand what that demographic is going through.
They cannot extradite themselves from identity politics. It's simply too far ingrained in how they operate. It's crazy. It's weird. Gender has absolutely nothing to do with your ability to win the presidency, obviously, nor your ability to be an effective president. I mean, this is not a debate that I think any rational or sane people are having. At least nobody I know, nobody I roll with in conservative, libertarian, Republican circles, nobody that I really talk to is having that conversation.
No.
If it's happening on the left, I would love to hear it. I would love to talk to somebody that's maybe getting into these arguments or maybe agrees with what Bernie Sanders is alleged to have said. And maybe Bernie Sanders said something very benign, like, I don't know that a woman can beat Trump in 2020, which is far different
from
saying, I don't think a woman can be president, or I don't think a woman could win, or anything like that. Strategically, it's not an unfair thing. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm saying it's not an unfair thing, and nor is it sexist to say, I just don't know if a woman would be able to beat Trump in 2020 in this environment right now, in what's going on in our country. That may have been what he said.
We do have a few pieces of audio to play. Let's play those, and we'll sprinkle in. There's a short piece here from the Washington Examiner. It's got some good points while we play some of this audio. What did anyone learn from the latest Democratic presidential primary debate? They learned that Trump's 2016 victory was not a fluke. He's really good at campaigning, and Democrats are not. Republicans, this is what I liked here, Drew. Republicans know the feeling. Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee in 2020, wasn't good at campaigning. And he was up against President Barack Obama, who was. Democrats might accept that they are now in the same situation. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to admit it because they've cast Trump as the evil villain, orange man bad. But the reality is, no, man, The dude is really good at campaigning, really good at getting people fired up, and sustaining that level of enthusiasm.
It's really amazing. I mean, I thought Barack Obama was one of the best I'd ever seen in my lifetime when it came to campaigning,
right.
When it came to being a candidate, when it came to holding the rallies and giving the speeches and all of those things. So it did not surprise me in the least when he beat John McCain. I mean,
right. No, no.
And then going on to beat Mitt Romney after that wasn't a huge shock.
I knew that from I knew McCain. It was not surprising at all.
Yeah. Not known for his energy.
Fireball, he was not. By any stretch of the imagination.
But Donald Trump, I mean, you know, you take everything that was very good about Barack Obama, the candidate, and Donald Trump is multiplying it. I mean, he's got so much charisma and energy. And yeah, we've been to two of his rallies. Mm-hmm. They're like rock concerts.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You want to know what he can do? Just listen to our guest at 7:35 on the iHeartRadio app on the podcast for the show. And
yeah, he makes tractors patriotic.
Tana Gertz, man, she was just 100% MAGA. All the MAGA.
So this was the biggest exchange from last night, the one that seems to be everyone's talking about.
CNN reported yesterday that, and Senator Warren confirmed in a statement, that in 2018, you told her that you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it. And I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on this, because this is what Donald Trump and maybe some of the media want. Anybody knows me, knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States. Go to YouTube today. There's a video of me 30 years ago talking about how a woman could become president of the United States. In 2015, I deferred, in fact, to Senator Warren. There was a movement to draft Senator Warren to run for president. And you know what? I said, stayed back. Senator Warren decided not to run, and I did run afterwards. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes. How could anybody in a million years not believe that a woman could become president of the United States? And let me be very clear. If any of the women on this stage or any of the men on this stage win the nomination, I hope that's not the case. I hope it's me. But if they do, I will do everything in my power to make sure that they are elected in order to defeat the most dangerous president in the history of our country.
So, Senator
So, I mean, nothing you said there, that leaving off the last part about Trump, nothing you said there is outrageous at all.
No.
I mean, he's right. Yeah. Hillary Clinton did win more votes than Trump. She beat Trump in the popular vote. You know, she very well, you know, could she campaigns in Wisconsin. She might be the president.
Yeah.
I mean, if she just put a little more focus on Wisconsin, maybe another state or two, she very well could be our president right now. But she didn't, and she lost. But of course a woman can win the presidency. It's a silly thing to even ask.
And anybody that knows anything about Bernie Sanders, who in the world thinks that he wouldn't think that he would think otherwise?
Of course.
The whole thing is stupid.
So at the end of the clip, you know, they clarified and Bernie once again denied that that he ever said that to Warren.
Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? If you're the moderator, how do you just simply pretend that that exchange didn't just happen?
After you make him confirm it, right. And then you just
you
move
double
on.
Back and clarify.
Yeah. So it's not like there was any misunderstanding.
Yeah, and again, like we said earlier, there's an easy way to handle that exactly the same way, but not make it come off so horribly. You start with Warren. Warren, you've said that Bernie Sanders said this. How did that make you feel? You're not confirming anything. You're stating the facts, and then you go to Bernie, and then you say, "So, you know, Bernie, what is your response to that?" And you can. It's exactly you're asking the question exactly the same way without making it seem like you're incredibly biased.
Is it possible at all that this was on the moderator, or is this? Do you think that? I don't know, was that moment orchestrated by CNN? It just seemed so on, like, on it did purpose.
It seemed very on purpose.
Well, yeah. It's beyond that, too. There's a lot of talk around, there's a lot of talk swirling around CNN, not just about this, but the fact that CNN jumped so hard on that talking point from Warren without any. I mean, look, CNN does that now. They don't need confirmation for anything. Their stories don't have to be sourced. That's the world we live in right now. So, but they've made a choice to take Elizabeth Warren at her word and to dismiss essentially Bernie Sanders' word on the issue.
I disagreed. Bernie is my friend, and I am not here to try to fight with Bernie. But
I'm going to spread lies about it
because
my campaign is floundering right now and I'm probably going to lose. So sorry, Bernie.
That is such a two-faced mean girl moment where she's like, we're friends, but he's a sexist.
Yeah, he's a horrible sexist.
You can't be like that.
Look, this question about whether or not a woman can be president.
And here's the thing. She never addressed Bernie's denial.
No,
she never like if that's me, right? If I'm Elizabeth Warren and I'm up on that stage and I firmly believe and I have a strong recollection of Bernie Sanders saying to me that a woman could not be president or could not win president. And he's standing 2 feet away from me or two podiums down and saying he never said it. I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I'm angry. Like, this is a guy I thought we were friends. You know, and you're going to stand there and you're going to call me a liar
right in
front of the nation. She didn't do any of that.
No, yeah,
she never addressed it.
No, you're 100% accurate. If you know something, if you know somebody is sitting there and just lying right to your face, you call them out on it. You absolutely call them out on it.
Has been raised, and it's time for us to attack it head on. And I think the best way to talk about who can win is by looking at people's winning record. So can a woman beat Donald Trump? Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections.
They are a bunch of losers. She's right about that. They are a bunch of losers.
The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women, Amy and me.
That was the highlight of Amy Klobuchar's night.
It totally was.
It really was. I mean, it outshined anything she said.
Yeah, campaign. We're going to hear about it for the next month now.
No, the highlight of her campaign was Donald Trump calling her Snowwoman or whatever. That was the highlight of her campaign.
CNN did Bernie dirty here. Like, this is ridiculous. And I don't support what Bernie stands for, but they totally did him dirty. Even Donald Trump Jr.
You mean the network that just had to pay out millions of dollars to a teenage kid because they spent weeks slandering him and talking about how punchable his face was?
You'd think they will never learn.
You're saying that they might be underhanded and untrustworthy? Or what?
Yes.
Even Donald
Trump
Jr.
World am I living in?
Went to bat for Bernie when he tweeted, how did CNN just pretend that Bernie didn't totally deny that he said a woman couldn't win and pretend that it was a fact just because Warren said so? It's not like her entire persona is not built on lies. It's the fix against Bernie and again.
So we had a conversation at 7:35, and you can listen to it on the iHeartRadio app with the podcast, from the Trump Victory Field Staff, a woman for Trump Advisory Board member. She was in Iowa, Tana Gertz, and she was talking very excited about President Donald Trump and about what's happening in Iowa and his rally there last night. And she mentioned that she got to ride on a patriotic tractor.
And we were curious.
Right.
What makes a tractor
patriotic?
Doug in Rochester, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Excellent.
What's your
comment? Tell us about the patriotic tractor.
Actually my brother-in-law's tractor. It's a Ford tractor that he's got all decorated up with flags and eagles, and on the inside of the hood it has all the service members that have been on our family for the past 100-ish years or so.
Oh, neat. That's very cool.
That is super cool.
Do you have any pictures of it? You could maybe tweet at us.
I don't have a Twitter, but I can email you some.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful.
Awesome.
AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com.
AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com.
Thank you so much, Doug. All right, and I'll tweet them out when you send them over.
Everybody email Drew quick.
We have one more audio clip before we get to Jesse Kelly, where we'll continue our conversation. But this was probably my favorite exchange of the night, if I was going to have one. Is this exchange between Elizabeth Warren and, again, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren had said she was she beat an incumbent Republican. She's the only person to beat an incumbent Republican within the last 30 years.
I defeated an incumbent Republican running for Congress.
When?
1990.
And at this point, you can see the wheels start turning in Elizabeth Warren's head as she's trying to do the math of how long ago 1990 was. When they all end in zero, it's pretty easy math.
That's how I won. Beat a Republican congressman. Number two. Of course. I don't think there's any debate up here.
Wasn't it 30 years ago?
I beat an incumbent Republican congressman.
And I said, I was the only one who's beaten an incumbent Republican in 30 years.
Well, 30 years ago is 1990, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But I don't know that that's the major issue of the day.
Finisher!
I love that moment because the look in the video, I mean, the audio does not do it justice. The look on Elizabeth Warren's face, she's flummoxed, she's confused, she doesn't understand, she can't do math in her head. And then when Bernie finally drops the 30 years ago was 1990, she's like, oh, God, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I'd never vote.
She just looks, oh, my God, I'm such an idiot.
Yeah. I'd never vote for Bernie, but I'm here for him.
If you ever needed an argument for term limits, we just got it.
Yeah.
Even Elizabeth Warren is unaware of how long she's been. Because I'm not going to give her a pass on it, but at the same time, you know, you know, you think 1990 doesn't feel like it was 30 years ago, but it was 30 years ago.
Well, she's going to use it as an attack. At least be accurate.
Exactly. Because she prepped that attack.
Yes.
I mean, she totally prepped that. She prepped the whole notion that the men up there have lost 10, you know, cumulatively 10 elections, that her and Amy have never lost an election. She prepped all of that.
Yes.
And how hard would it have been to be like, hey, can you guys double check the whole not beating an incumbent Republican in 30 years deal? Thanks. Appreciate it.
She was just wrong.
Jesse Kelly, Twitter provocateur, fellow iHeartRadio host, joins us next, and we'll continue this conversation about last night's debate and the impeachment vote in the House taking place later on this morning. Next.
All right, we are a little short on time for this final segment, so let's not waste any of it.
Watch out, Jesse. I've got it all, and I'm getting more, but I never thought we'd be more, cause you know I'm so hungry.
If there's anybody that I do not want to make wait, it is our dear friend, Twitter provocateur, iHeartRadio host, and the tallest man I know, Jesse Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I don't mind waiting. My entourage lets me know whenever I'm on. It's fun.
So, do you have any thoughts about the debate last night? Did you? And we talked about this earlier. We enjoy our conversations with you, but honestly, it's kind of a gamble because we don't know. You know, did Jesse Kelly pay attention? Didn't he pay attention? We need the Jesse gauge on the level of importance on this.
I did pay attention, actually, and I'm at the point now where I really try to, because the race is narrowing down, I try to take a step back, a more broad view of the race. And look, the bottom line is they're just all boring. They're all boring. And again, I've said this before on your show, but it's 100% true. It's very, very hard to beat a sitting president. I think historically, like 75% of them get reelected. Without a major scandal, they get reelected. They just do. It's impossible to beat a sitting president with a good economy. It's never, ever been done. Not once in the history of the United States of America has it been done. So if you're the Democrat Party, you have got to take a big chance on a outside-of-the-box chance. I mean, run The Rock. Run Marianne Williamson. I know that sounds crazy. You run Tulsi Gabbard. You have got to take a big chance that may flame out because it's your only chance. But they made the same mistake we made when we were trying to beat Barack Obama in his midterm. We hated his guts. I despised him. I assumed everyone else must despise him like that. So let's just put up, you know, Mom Jeans, Nook, Mitt Romney, and I'm sure he's just going to walk to the nomination. Well, that's not how it worked. The economy is stabilized, and presidents get reelected. This party has no chance. No chance in 2020. Zero.
This reminds me a lot of that Romney and Obama election, and the just the similarities, but going the other way on parties. I will never forget going. It was Tampa, right, Drew? Where the RNC was. I'll never forget walking around in Tampa, and it was so humid outside. It was like I just got out of a pool. Mm-hmm. It was the grossest thing ever. be that as it may, I remember. Like we like as a talk show host and someone who followed this, I remember thinking, you know, there's a lot of things that we can really push back on President Barack Obama for, and we can win this election, but there was no energy at that convention at all. It was void of any energy because Mitt Romney was void of any energy. And this seems to be shaping up very much in the same way. There's a lot of the same dynamics at play.
Yeah, exactly right. And we had to try to explain, because you're not talking to you or me. We know how we're voting. You have to try to explain to relatively non-political people who vote in every presidential election, swing voters who can go either way. You have to explain to them why to change their vote. And that explanation has got to be simple. And so when it was Barack Obama, what were we doing? We were all, well, you have to understand that in the future, Obamacare, it may raise your premiums and probably your deductibles, too. This is going to take place in 6 months, and the guy's already tuned out. The Democrats did that the whole night last night mm-hmm. with Donald Trump. Well, the economy's really good, but if you're a purple male between the age of 25 to 26, wages are actually down 50 cents. You've already lost. You've already lost. When the economy's that good, you've given nobody. You don't have a lane to stand on. Donald Trump he owns it right now.
Did you? What did you think of the only exchange that really seems to be, you know, getting any attention this morning? The whole hubbub over, you know, did Bernie Sanders say to Elizabeth Warren in 2018 that a woman can't win the presidency? And you know, Warren is claiming he did. Bernie Sanders vehemently denies it. CNN pretends he didn't deny it and asks Warren, how that did that make you feel?
Well, I saw that exchange. I think, well, for Warren, Elizabeth Warren is about as authentic as a Rolex you buy in Mexico. Okay, so let's just not act like Elizabeth Warren, anything she says is ever true again. But all of this is just a gigantic I am woman, hear me roar play from Elizabeth Warren. Bernie Sanders is an insane old communist, but he's actually relatively honest. I bet you Bernie's right. And to be honest, I wish he had said it, because that would be the only thing I agree with him on.
Moving over to, we know Nancy Pelosi is supposed to be giving a press conference ahead of a House vote to send the articles of impeachment up to the Senate. Mitch McConnell says that we'll proceed with the trial, maybe calling witnesses, could happen as early as next week. How do you see this playing out at this point in time? Put on, you know, let's look at the Jesse Kelly crystal ball and look into the future, and let's look past the vote in the Senate. Let's just say, you know, the Senate's not going to go and impeach Trump, and then we go from there. What happens with the impeachment argument? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's been a huge loser for Democrats, and I think Republicans are actually about to make a big mistake.
Mm.
They can't help themselves because they're politicians. They should get this trial into the Senate, and they should get it over with in 30 seconds if they could.
Yeah.
The Democrats have lost on impeachment. They look terrible. Get it in. Get it out. Get the votes. Let's end the thing and let the country move on. Let the Democrats be the only ones with a stain on them after impeachment. But these are United States senators, and all the cameras are going to be on, and I realize there are only jurors in there, but they're all going to want their 15 to 20 minutes of fame. And the country's going to get annoyed by impeachment. Yeah, I mean, all the facts with Trump's fine. He's not going to get convicted. But Republicans are going to end up having the country roll their eyes at them because they're going to want their TV time the way the Dems did.
Well, and clearly, based off the fact that Pelosi and the other House Democrats ended up bringing forward one of Giuliani's associates that had handwritten notes confirming the idea that they wanted the Ukraine to go and announce that there would be investigations. I mean, this is what they are going to do. And so, Jesse, I agree with you. I think it's in the best interest, because I think once it's done, it's over. Within 48 hours, if not a shorter period of time, the media will have moved on, and sure, it'll be a talking point on the campaign trail, but it's not going to be a focus any more than it has been leading up to their vote today to send it to the Senate.
You're right. And it's just what we were just talking about with campaigning, how it has to be simple.
Democrats lost this and that they could never explain what they're impeaching him for. The average American citizen still doesn't know. Well, I mean, he was on a call. Yeah, you saw the transcript, but, I mean, there was more to it. He was implying that you've already lost him. It has to be simple. He lied under oath, period. It has to be simple. It was never simple. It's been a loser for them.
There's a lot of chatter about, you know, what, how is this going to impact the senators who are running for president if they, you know, get confined to D.C., can't get out there and campaign as robustly as the other candidates. Is there, in your mind, do you think that there is an advantage to being given to Joe Biden here or maybe Pete Buttigieg if indeed this trial does drag on for a little bit longer than people expect and it does hinder, you know, your Klobuchars and your Sanders and your Warrens from getting out there and campaigning? Or is it kind of a wash at this point?
It's a wash because Klobuchar and Warren are going to be standing in front of the cameras getting national TV time every single chance they get. Every day when the trial adjourns, they're going to be pontificating on the Capitol steps about how the lion fighting for you. I mean, it's going to be insufferable.
You make a really good point, and I hadn't really thought about that. If you really want to know just how political and how politically motivated this impeachment really is, I think you'll be able to tell by how much questioning is given to your Klobuchars and your Sanders and your Warrens. You know, how much TV time do they end up getting? If they end up getting the lion's share of TV time, that you know that was orchestrated by the party.
And you know they will, Drew. You know that. I mean, they tried. Nancy Pelosi tried as best she could to say this is a sober event, and they were trying to go with that messaging, how nobody wants to do this. But none of them have been able to contain their excitement about this whole thing. They bragged that they were going to do it. They laughed their whole way through doing it. The media cheered them on. It's not some sober thing. They're all getting off on this. And look, you know what? It's going to be their only win in this 4 years.
So it's like they're as happy as John with a tub of cottage cheese right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's disgusting, John.
Thank you.
Jesse Kelly, as always, we appreciate the time. We can people check out your show.
See you, fellas.
All right, bye.
Okay.
All right, real quick.
The show's on at a time.
Before we find out whether or not
so it's Jesse Kelly on the air. Sorry, John.
Before we find out whether or not we've done our job appropriately, let's go here real quick. We teased it earlier. So, have you guys seen the story? Do you know the culprit behind, for the first time in a quarter century, of Americans buying less wine? Do you know what the reason is?
No.
Drew?
Actually,
you have a guess?
Ciders and beers becoming more popular.
Ooh, you're close.
Taking up people's consumption.
You're close, Drew?
No.
Okay.
Not sure.
It's Spiked Seltzer. So you're close.
Yeah. Boy,
Seltzer is the thing, man.
I love Spiked Seltzer.
U.S. wine purchases fell for the first time in 25 years. Sales of ready-to-drink alcoholic beverages, including seltzers like White Claw and Truly, climbed in nearly 50%.
Yes.
Did you see Bud Light is getting on the seltzer bandwagon?
Yeah. Oh, how could you? You couldn't avoid those during the ads during the playoff games.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. All the laws still exist.
So still apply.
When you're drinking claws.
Absolutely.
Every single one is still there.
How about heated Drew gets whenever anybody says that?
The ready-to-drink alcohol market reached $8 billion last year, and some forecasts have that market tripling by 2023. Mm. Got to buy some Bon and Viv stock.
People love their booze.
One of my favorite things is there's like these like spiked wine, water, seltzer things. I don't even know what they are. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know, but they're so good.
Yeah, they're spiked wine, water, seltzer. That's what
it is. Bubbly,
it's like
fruity, alcoholic drink.
Yeah.
That's
so
all.
Good.
Yeah, it's an alcoholic soda.
I love
Let's
it.
Let's stop coming up with fancy names.
Yeah, it's alcoholic soda.
It's just a boozy soda.
The Bon and Vibs are really good.
Rosé, sparkling seltzer. No, it's a boozy soda.
I'll take boozy soda any day.
The Bon and Vibs are really good, but the flavors, I have no idea what they are. It's got like hibiscus and weird things. I just think they taste good. They have a pear one. Anyway, well, Sam, what'd you learn today?
Around 6:30, I learned that third baseman Josh Donaldson has agreed to a 4-year deal with the Minnesota Twins. 7 a.m., I learned that the House is preparing to vote today to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate. Around 7:40, we were joined by Tana Gertz from the Trump victory team, Women for Trump. I learned all the reasons why Trump is the real winner of the debate last night. And then around 8 o'clock, we started our deep dive into the debate and listened to a lot of audio clips, and I learned that Elizabeth Warren is a hack. I also learned today that John likes to bathe in cottage cheese. If you missed any of those moments, check out all hours of the show and find our podcast by searching for Justice and Drew on the iHeartRadio app.
Katie Pavlich joins us tomorrow. I'm going to get work on my boozy cottage cheese recipe. We'll be back 6 to 9.
I'm going to go eat a fuzzy pear.